How we doing? Morning. Things sure do clear out by Friday, don't they? Yeah. We got a full house on Wednesday. It's diehards on Friday. It's great.
Quality, not quantity.
I agree 100%. Today, we're following the nothing earth-shattering here, following the normal schedule. I thought yesterday we had a good day. I like some of the things that we did offensively on third down, and the Ravens are a very good third down team, and that's an area we need to improve offensively. And defensively, I thought the level of communication overall was good as well. And the point I made to the team is this is something that consistently has to get better, especially defensively. The communication, the better we get with that, the better chance we give ourselves each week. And on special teams, I think we're doing some good things. And as we continue to clean up stuff, whether it's in the punt game, kickoff return game, I think that can be a real strength, and we have to be able to maximize that strength. And today we're looking forward to finish the week strong, to be able to clean up the stuff from the early part of the week and make sure that that we have all our ducks in a row as we head to Baltimore. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Eric, if Jamal can't play, what does that do for your offense and almost to your team, because he's so in tune with that Baltimore defense?
Yeah, that Baltimore defense pretty in tune with a lot of people's offenses. We'll see where he is here as we get through the week. Obviously, his experience and with playing there, with understanding the things they do is helpful, and it's helpful not just from his personal playing, but also to share that experience with guys like Jerome or James or it could be Cedric or Lawrence or any of those guys. I think that his background helps those guys as well. So there is a benefit there.
You mentioned, obviously nobody likes to be in third and long. So what do you have to do?
Well, I like it when we're on defense.
Well, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So what do you have to do offensively on first and second down to avoid those third and seven, third and eight?
Yeah, one thing that on some of these drives is, and it really puts you behind the ball, if you get any kind of penalty, it's hard. I've got a chart of, just tracks different downs and distances and likelihood of converting. So if you start first and 15, what's your likelihood of converting on that drive? If you're at, second and 8, second and 7, second and 6, right on down the line, and the longer those starting distances are, the more problems you have. And it's very hard statistically over time when you look at the whole league, regardless of offense, defense, whatever it is. It's a pretty small percentage when you get in third and 10. So you got to be able to manage the first two downs, and some of that could be you're in a second and long, you may drop back, you may be looking to get the whole amount of yardage, but it's not there. Okay, you go to the check down, you get 4 or 5, now you're in third and 5, which is a much more manageable situation. And there's a lot of different approaches on those second and long situations as to how you want to proceed. Some coordinators are get back on track guys, which is if they get in a second and long, it's going to be a screen, a draw, a quick pass, something along those lines. Other guys will treat every down the same. So first and 10 is the same as second and 10, is the same as third and 10, and they're going to run what they run. So each coordinator has a different philosophy there.
So what would you say Brian's is?
I think it's a mixture, and you try to look at do you have an opportunity on second and 10 based on what they're playing to get it down the field? Because some defensive coordinators now on second and 10 will bring heat because they want to keep you behind the eight ball, and they take some chances there where you may be able to get a real big play. Some guys will sit light and they'll drop 8, in that situation you may have to go shorter and try to gain the yards that way. So it's your philosophy, but you also have to look at what you're going to expect defensively.
Yeah.
making any personnel changes heading into this game? Not anything that I'm asking you to be specific about, but were you able to shake anything up?
No, to me it's not about shaking it up. The most important thing that everybody needs to understand is we're going to play guys that play hard through four quarters. We're going to play guys that play smart football. We're going to play guys that are going to do their assignments, and it's not about who's the most talented. It's who's the best person to play in that situation, in that game, and how you define who the best person is by getting the most consistent, reliable, hardest working guys out there that really understand what it means to finish. And that's important to me. It's something that I've stressed. It's something that everybody understands. I went back and looked at our 07 game against the Ravens, and it was down in Baltimore. We were down 20-3 with 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then it was like 20-6 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we end up having the ball at the 5-yard line with a minute left with a chance to tie. And you just keep you keep plugging away, you keep going, and things can change dramatically at any point in the game. You got to play that each one of those plays the same way.
You talked about the division yesterday, but this being your first game in the AFC North, do you talk to the players any differently about division games? Did you prepare any differently? Because you have a little more weight, in the standings.
I don't think the fundamental approach changes. The division games have obviously a different significance from the fact that you have to win your division, or usually that's the quickest way to get to where you want to go. But ideally, we're preparing for each game in a very consistent fashion. So I would look for the guys to have the same intensity regardless of the opponent, but also appreciate the significance of a division game.
Slip away effect in the second half, where the game just got to a point where got away from you. How do you avoid, especially when you look at this week and it appears on paper that the deck is stacked against you, to keep the guys focused and keep them in tune with what you want them to do, and kind of avoid that human emotion of things getting away from you in the course of a game?
I try to teach from other examples, and you obviously talk about what you're expecting, but then you show examples of how games can change and how they can turn. I've talked a lot about the Indy Tampa Bay game. I forget what year it was, where at one point they're down by 3 touchdowns late in the game. Suddenly it turns, and it turns dramatically. They score quickly, they come back, they get an onside kick, they score again quickly. There's some things that happen on special teams, and before you know it, Indy's tied up the game. I think they scored, Tampa scored, they scored. And it was a huge swing back and forth, but it ended up going overtime and Indy won. And those things happen, but you just got to go out and play the next situation. And you can't think, okay, there's no 21-point touchdown. You got to go and get the first 7. And then you got to go get this, play good defense, and you got to play good special teams. And then you get the second 7. It's chipping away and seeing where it is when things finally end.
Eric, your first Super Bowl year up in New England, you guys had kind of a rough start, and things looked kind of bleak. Do you draw on any of the things that you learned having gone through that and try to apply it to this and see if you can find some commonalities?
Yeah, I definitely draw on those experiences all the time. We were coming off 5-11. We were 0-2. I think we went 1-3, or at one point we're 5-5. And, I remember Bill showed a horse race, and I forget which race it was, but they're around the first bend. He says, who's ahead? And Bruschi or somebody said, oh, it's horse number whatever. And he said, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter who's ahead right now. Showed the second, the second turn, same thing. There's X horse ahead. And then at the end, you know, a horse that was trailing for quite a bit ended up winning the race. And then the point was made and everybody understood it. It doesn't matter where you are through the course of the race. It matters where you are when things finish. And, you know, we're 5-5 at that point and ended up winning, I think, our last six games and then won the Super Bowl. And, you know, we kept working. We worked through the 5-11 year. We worked into the next season. It was consistent. And when you string good practices together, you string good meetings together, you string good choices together, it's going to break, and it's going to break in a good way. But you have to be consistent. It's easy. It's so easy when you're winning to come in and do all the right things. That's, you know, anybody can do that. The important thing is to be consistent, win or lose, and improve. And it's, you know, it's harder the other way, but it's, you know, it's a difference between teams that continue to improve and who finish strong and teams that don't.
Todd Heap, give you guys not only individual, but when you combine them with the running game they have and Flacco's ability to stretch a field with that arm.
He's challenging. He's been a good tight end for a long time. I remember they flexed him out at one point against us and ran a fade to him on a corner, and he came up with it. He's got that ability to go out wide and make plays. He's got the ability to be in line and block. He's got the ability to be a force in the red zone, and it adds pressure to the interior part of the defense, and he's a complete tight end. He can catch. He can block. He can do all those things, and that – It adds a significant amount of pressure to the internal part because you got to deal with them in both those facets.
Coach, I was getting a kick out of Rob Ryan yesterday. He was running around out there and screaming and throwing tackling dummies at guys. And I was just wondering if you could kind of comment on his coaching style and whether you think guys respond to that hands-on, energetic approach.
Yeah, I think they respond to all different approaches as long as you're helping them be successful. And you know, Rob is who he is, and just like Rex is who he is, and you appreciate that. And you know, he's a really smart guy. He's a really good football coach, and he's got a great personality. He's funny as can be. I mean, some of the lines he comes up with, I don't know if they're his. I don't know if they're buddies. I don't know where he got them from, but he's got good comedic timing, which I've appreciated for a long time, as well as he's creative. You know, he'll come up with some stuff where you got to be like, well, how are we covering this? I said, you know, don't cover ghosts. You know, that's a classic buddy line. Hey, don't cover ghosts. But then you got to reel it back in. Well, okay, say this does become not a ghost. Oh, yeah, okay, we can do what this is. I mean, he's thought through it, but there's also a sense of understanding what's important. And another great buddy line is they can't throw with tears in their eyes. You know, like, well, you know, what if he can't throw with tears in their eyes? And he's Rex is the same way. They're great guys. They're really, really good football coaches. And, you know, you appreciate their energy. You appreciate their passion. It's something he loves, and it's apparent.
Can make the signature play when you need it, like Lewis did, or is there some young guys with potential?
There's not very many Ray Lewis's. He's a special guy. I think that we have a lot of guys that can make plays, and you know, ideally, everybody when they have an opportunity can do that. And you know, part of being able to make a play is understanding when a play is there to be made. And there's a big difference between trying to make a play and getting out of what you should be doing defensively and being in, you know, the right spot, anticipating what they're doing, and then making a play. And, you know, the first one where you're trying to make a play and you're going out of what you're supposed to do, usually you do make a play, but it's for the other team because you create some kind of seam. And then the other way is the way I'm always looking for, where it's in the context of the defense, you're in the right spot, you anticipate what's going to happen based on what you know, and you take advantage of those opportunities.
Doesn't a defense need, like, a one guy they look to in those key moments, like, you know, like sometimes it's James Harrison or Polamalu or, you know.
Yeah, you'd love to have somebody that could just dial it up whenever they want to, and you know, I think that a trademark of a good player is that he makes the plays he's supposed to make, and then can make some plays that he generates based on the things that he knows and can do. And I've been around a lot of guys that I think are really, really excellent playmakers, and the ones you really enjoy are the ones that do within the context of the bigger picture.
As the guys were saying that they felt they were pretty pleased with what they were doing on first and second down, but they were very displeased with not being able to get off the field on third down. And I'm curious as to whether a consistent, strong pass rush is the only solution to that, or if there's things that you guys can do to do a lot better on third down defensively.
Well, to me, a consistent, strong pass rush is based on it's not just always going to be lining up four guys who rush the passer, and you know that's a consistent strong pass rush. There's, you know, you'd like to be able to do that, but there's other times where you generate pressure through pressures, through blitzes, through zone blitzes. We had a couple opportunities against Denver where we came clean and didn't convert. It was either able to get the ball off or, you know, whatever the case may be, and it's happened some other times. And that's a function of, okay, the rusher's going to the right spot, you know, them being where they need to be, but also the coverage being able to hold up and giving them time to get to the quarterback. And it really is coordinated, because if you have a breakdown in coverage, even with the best rush in the world, usually a big play is going to happen.
Ray Lewis, a follow-up to that. Do you have to try to, or how would you try to match his emotional intensity, just what how he fires up that team?
I don't think it's a function of trying to match what he does. It's trying to do to do the things that we need to do, and you appreciate the intensity that they play with, and you understand that, and you can't be surprised by it. It's something you're going to have to match to be successful. It's you know, it's like any other situation that we talk about. You go to some place hot, probably going to be hot. You go to play the Ravens defense, they're going to be intense. And you know, you hate to show up on Sunday and say, God, they were intense, huh? Yeah, yeah. You go down to Miami in the summertime, it's hot. Really? Oh, okay. You know, it's probably going to be a little cold here at some point. I mean, the weather's been beautiful lately, but I anticipate that's going to happen. You know.
When we talk to these guys in the locker room, they always say it's like, you know, there's just one guy making a mistake, and it's not the same guy all the time, and that's why things bog down. Do the successful teams, all 11 guys, do what they're supposed to, or do those teams overcome that one mistake?
Well, there's usually mistakes in every game on both sides, but you have to minimize them. And you know, if every guy makes one mistake, you got 45 mistakes. It's going to be hard to win. If hey, I only got one penalty. Okay, well, all right. Well, 10 people only got one penalty. It's still 10 penalties. It's got to be. You can't be that one guy. And the goal should be everybody to come out without those mental errors, and if you do that, you got a real chance. And it doesn't matter who you play, when you play, you got a real chance. There's a difference between getting beat and losing the game, and you never want to be in a situation where you've lost the game. But I forget who was telling me, it was Marty or Dick Vermeil, somebody with a long resume, said more games are lost in the NFL than are won. And you know, good teams don't lose games.
Do you feel pretty good about Hank Fraley at guard if it comes to that?
Yeah, I feel good about Hank in any of those spots. Hank is extremely smart. He's he's got great flexibility that way. He understands what's happening along the whole front, so he can play any one of those three interior spots and do it well.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. See you later.